Let's ask the Lord to bless his word today to us, right? Praise the Lord. Let's just bow our heads before him. Thank you, Lord, for your precious word. Father, we do not just take it as another book, but we believe it, Father, that it is your inspired word where you speak to us. We ask you, Father, to bless this word of God brought this morning, and that you will just cause us each one to be blessed and understood what is being said. In the name of Jesus Christ, we ask you, Lord. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Isn't it beautiful we have up there, God is calling. Isn't it good that God talks to us?
Yes.
Praise the Lord. How thankful we should be. And I hope everyone here has had God talk to them sometime. Sometimes he uses his word. Sometimes he uses a sermon or some other person to bring a message to us that we need. But to understand something or to have courage or, you know, all these things. But how we praise him that he cares enough about us. He knows every single one of our lives, exactly. He knows everything about us. He knows when we're in trial. He knows when we're in victory. He knows everything. Isn't that beautiful? Remember how much he loves you. You're his children. I'm his child. He loves me. Oh, it's beautiful. It's beautiful. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So let's ask the Lord just as we take this word of God. Now we're just going to trust in the Lord that he's going to bless this word to us. So throughout the Old and New Testament, we see God calling individuals to do his work. You know, how he called people. Just think of it. You know, we think of Adam and Eve. You know, they learned from God to offer offerings. They were obedient, and that's why Abel knew how to offer an offering to God. And many, many others we can think of, like Abraham, how he followed God out of the country he was in and went to a country he didn't even know anything about. God said, this is going to be your land. That's the land, the nation of Israel. And Moses, how obedient Moses was. Boy, he had a high-class job down in Egypt. But God called him, and he was willing to go and do whatever God said for him to do. And Joshua, think of that. Joshua was a young man at one point, and by the time they got over, finally got back into Canaan land, he was getting elderly. He was getting pretty up there. And God used him so wonderfully. He called him. He told him what to do. And then we think of the prophets, Isaiah. Isaiah is such a wonderful book. If you ever read in Isaiah, you'll see there's so many prophecies about Jesus Christ. And it's just such a blessing just to read the book of Isaiah. And all the other prophets that we find, like Jeremiah and Daniel, and all of them are just so precious. You know, sometimes we read something like those prophets, especially, and maybe we don't understand what they're trying to say. And it's precious that God is using that to get us to seek after him, to call to him. Help me, Lord, understand. And he does that. Praise the Lord. In the New Testament, John the Baptist, he was a man that God called. He had a special commission. Think how short his life was. He was killed, wasn't he, for the reason that he had pointed to Christ and said, he's the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. And then we think of many others. We could just go on here all night, but 12 disciples that were chosen by God, how God called them to this thing. And when Jesus said, come with me and I'll make you fishers of men, they dropped their fishing tackle in their boat and they went right on and followed him just like he said, like he told them. Praise the Lord. The 12 disciples, how wonderful. In the book of Romans, chapter 11, verse 29, it says this, for the gifts and callings of God are without repentance. And that word repentance means irrevocable. In other words, when God chooses someone, like when he chose the apostles, when he chose Apostle Paul, when he chooses us for a ministry, he doesn't then decide not to. It's his way of doing that. He calls someone to in a special gift and an ability, and then he wants us by his grace to do that he has asked us to do. In the Amplified Version, if you read chapter 11 of Romans, verse 29, the Amplified Version is just another version that they look into the Greek words a lot more and add what it is. It says, "For the gifts and callings of God are irrevocable, for he does not withdraw what he has given, nor does he change his mind about those to whom he gives his grace or to whom he sends his call." The gifts and the callings of God. That word gifts means endowments from God, qualifications, or miraculous faculty or ability. So if God calls someone to minister, or he calls someone to be a pastor, or he calls someone to be just a faithful servant, there's not anything like that is less than the other. We all have whatever God has given to us. And whatever that is, he has a call on our life, that we are to follow that calling and walk in that. Let's look at 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter. Turn with me there. 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter. I'll just mention this to you. A lot of you know this. My father was a minister, and he was a good preacher. But at a point in his life, he left my mother. We had 5 children in the family. At that time, 2 of us were the ones that were left. But he left and left his ministry. And he did not minister for 21 years. He never preached or anything. Finally, the Lord turned him around again. So, you know, as we read there, the gifts and callings of God are without repentance. If God calls somebody, he's going to give them the power to do that, to be there. But oftentimes, as I've said, people will follow God for a while and then not, and become, you know, out of the will of God. So God is so good. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 12, verse 12. That's where we're going to read. "For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ." And we can say Christ's body. He's not talking about membership of churches that people do in the world today. It's not that. When we know Jesus Christ as our Savior, we are immediately in the body of Christ. We are in the church, another name for it, the church of the living God. We are the believers in Christ. And so, as it says there, so also is Christ's body. It's like many members in our body, all this that God created to have us have a human body that is so, so interesting and wonderful. Verse 13, "For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and we've been made to drink into one Spirit." Now, he's not talking about water baptism here. He's talking about the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came down, the Holy Spirit's power, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, every believer that believes in Jesus Christ is in the church. And all of those that are in the church with real, true believing in Jesus as their Savior, they are one body in Christ, and they were all placed in this one body. Whether they be Jews or Gentiles, it doesn't matter what belief there are. The disciples were Jews. Jesus was a Jew. Apostle Paul was a Jew. But also the word of God came to the Gentiles also. Praise the name of Jesus. Let's look at verse 15. "If the foot shall say, because I'm not the hand, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body?" See, sometimes people get kind of mixed up and they think, okay, then if I can't be so-and-so or if I can't do so, then I'm not part of the body of Christ, the body of Christ, or the church of the living God. But God appoints us, not man. And oftentimes people will be put out of a church or put out of authority and not follow through on their ministry just because somebody didn't like them or, you know, different things happen in people's lives. And so, praise the Lord. You cannot say that I'm not the hand, if I'm not the hand, or if I'm not the foot, that I'm not of the body. See, that's wanting a different position. Paul says, don't do that. Say, okay, I'm not the foot, so I don't want to be that. I want to be the hand. See, now spiritually speaking, you have to apply that. Some of us minister the word. Some of us don't minister the word. Some of us have other things that God is using us in. And so we're all important to God. Hallelujah. God is, it's very important. He has a calling upon us. Okay, let's go ahead and read verse 18. But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased him. He has set them. I like that word, set. He did it. It's not sit or sat, it's set. We are set in the body as God pleased him. So wherever we are placed in the body, the Lord wants us to work and yield to that. Yield to that calling of God on our lives. Praise the name of Jesus. And then notice verse 21. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of you. Or again, the head to the feet, I have no need of you. No, much more. Those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary, which seem to be weaker or without strength is what the interpretation of that is. Feeble, not having strength. Where is God's strength most greatly manifest? In people that are weak. See, when we realize we of ourselves can do nothing, we're not able to say, I'm the strong one and I'm going to carry on everything. That's what some people try to do, and it's fleshly. It's not spiritual led, it's flesh leading. And so praise the Lord that the Lord is the one who strengthens us. And even though we may be in the natural more feeble, yet we are, what is that word? Necessary. We are necessary in the body of Christ. It is important that we are here. This is where God placed us. We have a place here. We all have a place. That is so beautiful. Hallelujah. Praise God. Verse 27. Now we are the body of Christ and members in particular. And I will say this again. In the beginning of the church age, they didn't have written down words that this one is a member of the church and that one's not and this one doesn't please me, so he's not and she's not and all this stuff that people do. And that's why we do not believe in church membership. If you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you are a member of the church. You are a member of the church. And we are so glad to have you here. We're so glad to have you here with us as persons in this assembly. But, you know, we believe that there are believers in other churches too. Now, some people, we don't think they're saved, but, you know, they have a wrong doctrine, like I could name, which I will not. But praise the Lord. We know that those who know the Lord Jesus Christ are in the body of Christ. They are in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord is, he teaches that in the Word of God. As he says, we are the body of Christ. It'd be good if you haven't read this, just to read the rest of this chapter, because it talks so many things here about how maybe we have comely parts in our natural body, and maybe in the spiritual, maybe someone isn't as comely as the other person and so forth, but that doesn't matter to God. He wants to make sure that we know him as our Lord and Savior and that we are the children of the living God. That is the important thing, the very most important thing. Let's look back in 1 Corinthians 1:18. He says in verse 18 of chapter 1 of 1 Corinthians, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God." Because we receive Christ, there's power in that. We now have a new life. Glory to God. Let's read verse 20. Let's read verse 19. "For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and I will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, unto the Greek foolishness." Verse 26, "For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called." And that's our title, the calling of God. You see, God has us all as his children. We're all part of the body of Christ, the church of the living God. Every one of us is that. We don't have our name written on a book. In the natural, we have it written in heaven on the book. The Bible talks about that book in heaven. God has chosen many people. Some people look maybe at a person and say, "Oh, is God going to use them? All the foolish things of the world?" No. God doesn't look at the outward appearance. He looks at the heart. And he chooses. Now, the word choose here in the Greek means to select or make a choice. God chooses us to do his will, to do what he desires for us. In Hebrews 3:1, it says there that Paul, speaking to the believers, he says that they have a God is calling them, he says, as holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling. He said, you're a partaker of the heavenly calling. Everyone here, we're partakers of the heavenly calling. God has told us we needed Christ, didn't he? When we were saved, he said, you need to receive Jesus. So he called to us, and we received Jesus. Hallelujah. Remember that how he called Israel. He called Israel as his chosen people. He called the Jews and Israel as a whole. But some of them didn't accept, right? In the Old Testament, we see many failures of the Israelites. And, of course, in the time of Jesus, they crucified the Lord. They crucified the Messiah that was coming. And so, but God chose many of those. He chose them all, but they didn't accept. Some of them accepted and became disciples in the early church and down through the ages and years. That's the way it's always gone, hasn't it? A message can be preached at Billy Graham's. Used to watch those things, and there would be these people that would come up. They heard the word, and they chose to believe. Praise the Lord for that. So what did Paul do? He turned to the Gentiles because the Jewish people were refusing to accept. In Acts 13:46, it says, "It was necessary that the word of God should first be spoken to you." This is Paul talking. "Seeing that you put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, so we turn to the Gentiles." See? Thank you, Lord. I am so thankful that the message came to the Gentiles, that we have this privilege to enter into the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's look at Ephesians 4:1. "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called." We're talking about God calling. And the word vocation means your invitation. It's interesting to look up words, because sometimes they're not like what was put in here. You know, when I think of a vocation, I think of my job. But this word vocation actually means an invitation or calling. So, wherein you are called. You're called by God. Do you have that in your heart? You are called by God. He did a wonderful thing when he sent his son to die on the cross. He called people to come and believe. Believe in Jesus and walk with Jesus and yield to Jesus. Oh, isn't it beautiful? Praise the Lord. He says, you've been called. He said, I beseech you that you walk worthy of this calling. And that means, in the Greek, it means after a godly source, after a godly sort, S-O-R-T, sort. In other words, what God wants from us is to follow the Word of God and walk in the Spirit. Other places, it says, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So, see, as you walk in the Spirit, you become more and more like the Lord, more and more like Jesus. And, oh, praise the Lord, we walk worthy in this because we are called. And we don't do it that in ourselves. How many, I won't tell you to raise your hand. I'm sure every one of us here could say, well, I haven't always, there's been times I've had a failure. I tell you what, we're all humans, so we've all had failures. There have been times that it's been difficult for us to do a certain thing that God wanted us to do or to just yield to God sometimes. So praise the Lord. He has this calling upon us. We are his children. All right. Boy, time is really going back there. I have to look at my regular watch. It's just the same because they changed it. Okay. 2 Timothy 1:9, speaking of God, who hath saved and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Now, all humanity has been called to be saved. All humanity. There's not one person that's been on this earth that can't say, nobody ever told me anything about it. I don't know. I never had the opportunity. They can't stand before God and say that because God makes sure that every person hears the message of salvation. There are particular callings that God has for us. One of them, and since our time is running out, which it happens often, unless you want me to be here at 12:30, Romans 12:4-8, if you want to read that at home, it talks about the gifts and various ministries that God calls us to these. And we know that's true. He calls us. He spoke to us. And my ministry, you know, to bring the Word of God, to preach, you know, and pastor and things like that. But that doesn't mean that you have that same ministry. Every one of us people of God has been given a ministry. Something he wants us to do, like brother playing his guitar, that's of the Lord. He loves to play and honor God that way. Brother Jim leading the singing. All of you, if you weren't here sitting in the seat, I wouldn't have anybody preach to. Praise the Lord. So God has his way. In Acts 26:19, Paul said, when the Lord appeared to him on the road to Damascus, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. And then in 1 Timothy 4:14, he uses this word, neglect. Neglect. He told the hearer to not neglect the gift which was given to us. And the word neglect means to be careless of, to not regard, or to make light of. When God calls one of his children, we are not to neglect that gift which was given to us with the laying on of hands. And in 2 Timothy 1:5, and if you'd like to read that through 9 at home, it says there, wherever God has called us to do it, to be faithful. In verse 9, it says that we have a holy calling. There's a holy calling. Maybe you're not called to preach, but there are things that God wants us as his children to participate in, to do things that are honoring him, to help one another, to help other people outside of this building, to help those that are in need financially even, and to help those spiritually that need help. As many, Romans 8:14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the children of God. They are the sons of God. Don't neglect that calling. One aspect of the calling is the word means an invitation. See, what do you do? Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. So he gives an invitation for us to come and realize what a wonderful calling that we have. And in closing, let's turn to Philippians. Philippians, the third chapter, and you probably know this verse. I hope you do. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. There are other places where it talks about calling, but this calling is a very special one. He wants us all to run this race with patience. Paul talks about the race, and we haven't gone over a scripture like that, but he does. He says that we're running on a race, that all of us are running this race course. And so he does it, and Apostle Paul was like this, you know. All of us have seen these races. Some people fall down. Some people go too slow. Some people step on the outside marks they shouldn't. You know, all the different things. Well, we have eternal salvation in Christ Lord Jesus. But he wants us to really press, run this race with patience. Run it and follow the Word of God. Follow the truth of the Word of God. And be an overcomer in our lives. The word is full of the scriptures of overcoming. We've read them so many times, haven't we? Be an overcomer over all the trials and the tests that come. And notice there's a mark. Just like in a natural race, there's a place. That's the end. There's a tape across that. One of these days, Jesus is going to say, come up here. To those that are running this race with patience, are running to win the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Oh, what a beautiful, beautiful thing to know. Isn't it?
Amen. Amen.
What a great and marvelous truth to know that Jesus loves us so. He loves us so. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. There's more to this, but I won't go ahead and read 9 more scriptures. But it would probably be good if you would do that. If we want to be in the high calling, I'm going to just read these, you know, I'm just adding on a little bit. If you want to be in this high calling that he's talking about, dedicate your life to God.
Yes.
My life is the Lord's. I want to do that. Love Jesus. And God the Father, supremely, over everything else in your life, love God, love Jesus. Show that love to them. Another thing, be obedient to his will. Be obedient to his will. Whatever he asks of you, do it. Just do it. He's going to give you the strength to do it. Sometimes he asks things that are very, very hard. But he gives you the strength to do it. He's a faithful God. Praise the Lord. 3, be obedient to his will. Be obedient to his will, whatever he asks. In Philippians 3:12, it speaks of total dedication to Christ. 3:12, that we say, not as though I'd already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. I will follow. I will do the will of God. Praise the Lord. So I'll close there.